This is CBS News on the Hour, presented by Indeed.com.
I'm Steve Kathan. There's breaking news. The U.S. Coast Guard says a debris field has been found near the Titanic wreckage in the North Atlantic as rescuers search for that missing submersible. George Kaufmann is a German shipping expert.
The question would be still, is the pressure hull still intact? If it's not intact, I have no hope, no huge hope that people are still alive then. If it is intact, then the question is the oxygen there for the people to survive inside the vehicle?
In Moscow, a court ruled today that Wall Street Journal reporter Evan Gershkovich should remain behind bars on espionage charges until at least late August. U.S. Ambassador Lynn Tracy says the case against him is baseless.
Nonetheless, today in the courtroom, Evan continued to show remarkable strength and resiliency in these very difficult circumstances.
At least four are dead after a tornado did major damage in Matador, Texas. It'll be another day of triple-digit heat in much of the Lone Star State. Roads buckled yesterday in the Houston area.
Now I got two flat tires and only one spare. And it's like the hottest day of the year out here.
A federal judge has struck down Florida rules pushed by Governor Ron DeSantis restricting Medicaid coverage for transgender treatments. CBS's Jim Crisula.
The judge wrote that a health code rule and new state law violate federal law. Judge Robert Hinkle said, quote, gender identity is real. And he said treatments are backed by major medical associations. He accused the state of eliminating funding of puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones for biased political reasons.
Now to the White House.
Thousands were on hand as President Biden welcomed the Indian Prime Minister on the South Lawn.
The challenges and opportunities facing the world in this century require that India and the United States work and lead together, and we are.
Mr. Biden hopes to draw India closer as a check on China in the Indo-Pacific, but Narendra Modi's record on minority rights and press freedom complicate the relationship. Stephen Portnoy, CBS News, Washington.
The NBA draft is tonight. The top pick is expected to be 19-year-old French 7-footer Victor Wembanyama. Matt Lorlander of CBS Sports says he can do it all.
In speaking to a few front office people earlier this week, there is still just a little bit of a, I want to see the body and how it holds up against the rigors of an NBA schedule.
And checking Wall Street right now, the Dow is down 53 points. The S&P is up about 2 points. This is CBS News.
Need hires who dazzle without the hassle? You need Indeed. Their powerful platform helps you attract, interview, and hire candidates all in one place. Visit Indeed.com/credit.
Find out what's going on in the world, the state,
and in your own backyard.
This is a Sit Media Network News Update.
It's 12:03. Good afternoon. I'm Terry Bell, and here's what Wisconsin needs to know. A statewide Code Orange advisory for ozone pollution is in effect throughout Wisconsin through tomorrow night. The Department of Natural Resources says high temperatures in the 90s and pollution from vehicles are a couple of reasons we're having so much smog right now and why the air is dangerous for many people to breathe. Civic Media's meteorologist Brittany Merlot will have more about ozone pollution and the latest on Wisconsin drought conditions coming up in our weather. Well, the air would be cleaner if more new cars were converted to electric power. A new report by the American Lung Association says green energy initiatives could bring $900 billion worth of public health benefits by 2035. The Lung Association's Will Barrett says that's something to consider, especially in weather like this.
This is increasingly common, and it really speaks to the need to control all sources of harmful pollution. And as the transportation sector is the leading source of harmful pollution, we really need to be focused on getting to zero emission technologies as widely and quickly as possible.
The ALA says 120 million Americans live in areas with unhealthy levels of ozone or particle pollution. Wisconsin's rainy day cash reserves are getting bigger, but the experts say there's room for improvement. Stuart J. Waddles reports.
The Legislative Fiscal Bureau says the state has $1.8 billion stashed away, generating about $7 million a month. That's a lot better than a decade ago, but still below the national average. The Fiscal Bureau is proposing a couple of options. One would be to transfer $525 million to the fund to bring Wisconsin even with other states. The other would be to transfer $1.3 billion. That would aim to make Wisconsin's rainy day fund recession-proof. Stuart J. Waddles, Civic Media News.
Well, the options for the Rainy Day Fund are on the agenda for the Budget Writing Joint Finance Committee, which plans to finish its work on the two-year state budget and send it to the full legislature tonight. Lawmakers say they want the spending plan passed before the 4th of July, but that could get complicated. That's because Governor Evers says he'll veto the entire state budget if Republicans cut $32 million from the University of Wisconsin system. Their aim is to defund diversity, equity, and inclusion offices. The budget committee will also consider share revenue and tax relief and general fund taxes. Well, the shared revenue deal Governor Evers enacted this week overhauls the way Wisconsin divvies up state funds for local operating expenses. Most places will see state aid go up by at least 20%. It's meant to help communities big and small. Mike Moen reports now on how local leaders feel.
Menominee Mayor Randy Kanak says the aid will help. While his city of 16,000 has been able to keep a balanced budget in recent years, he says the costs are piling up, including health care plans for city staff. And that's not all.
Our streets and our roads really got beat up this last winter, so we're trying to fill potholes and maintain our streets.
Kanak says each town is unique in its needs, noting there's greater concern about how rural towns are faring, along with a dire fiscal situation in larger cities like Milwaukee. While the agreement is bipartisan, it has been criticized on both sides for adding provisions beyond the local government funding. I'm Mike Moen.
Well, if you were thinking about applying for that job as a cheese taster at the University of Wisconsin, that's too late. The Center for Dairy Research is done taking applications. About 200 people applied for the job. Whoever gets it will get 3 months of paid training, and after that, the job is about 10 hours a week. Experts say most people don't realize how much work goes into the food industry, like quality control and research and development. That's what Wisconsin needs to know. I'm Terry Bell. It's 12:07.
Here's what you need to know in western Wisconsin. Good afternoon, I'm Jimmy Cuska. The latest U.S. Drought Monitor shows most of western Wisconsin is in drought, with the lower Wisconsin River Valley in severe drought. All of the state is abnormally dry, with nearly 80% of the state considered to be in drought. Also, wildfire danger remains high for northwestern and southwestern Wisconsin, thanks in part to the ongoing drought as well as high and hot weather. And the entire state is also under an air quality advisory through tomorrow night due to unhealthy levels of ozone. Two people are facing dozens of charges after authorities said nearly 200 goats were found dead at a farm in southwestern Wisconsin. The Lafayette County Sheriff's Office said that Kyle and Stephanie Lincecum starved the herd and that there had been no flowing water for weeks.
This was brought on just by lack of taking care of them. I mean, obviously very devastating to see that many animals just left to die.
That's Sheriff Reg Gill, who told WKOW-TV that he brought a veterinarian to the scene to find out what had happened. According to court documents, the couple kept money from selling some of the goats, which they didn't have the authority to do. The total amount is about $37,000. The man accused of shooting several people in downtown La Crosse early Saturday morning is charged. 31-year-old DeAndrew Grant received 27 total charges, according to online court records. That includes 6 counts of attempted homicide with the use of a dangerous weapon and 15 counts of recklessly endangering safety. Police said he fired shots toward the front of Polito's Pizza from a vehicle, striking 7 people. He's being held on a $1 million cash bond at the La Crosse County Jail. And today is the start of Country Fest in Kidott. The event in northwestern Wisconsin, which began in 1987, kicked off with select performances last night. The headliners for the event are John Party, Dan and Shay, and the Zac Brown Band. And after recent updates to the facilities, a record crowd of 100,000 people is expected this year. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Cuska.
And now, your Wisconsin weather from Civic Media.
I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot with a look at your weather ahead. An air quality alert remains in effect for the entire state until tomorrow at 11 p.m. The heat streak continues with powerful sunshine, temperatures hitting the 80s, all alongside very dry air. These extended conditions have led us into a flash drought throughout the Midwest, with rapid intensification in Wisconsin. Sitting in these above-average temperatures with minimal rain has swiftly altered the local climate. Lower soil moisture from extreme evaporation rates has countered the recent rains received. Moderate drought conditions have increased in just 1 week by 46%, putting us at 78% statewide. Meanwhile, severe drought has now struck the lower Wisconsin River Valley and Douglas County. However, we are expecting much-needed rain ahead this weekend, with a half an inch in southern Wisconsin and nearly 3 inches into central Wisconsin and the Northwoods. This alongside cooler temperatures that should help slow the evaporation rates. I'm meteorologist Brittany Merlot, Civic Media News.
The Bucks' Chris Middleton headed to free agency. Good afternoon, I'm Mike Clemens with sports. ESPN reporting that the Bucks' Chris Middleton, after talks with the team, has decided not to accept his player option worth $40 million, making him a free agent on the open market. Chris Middleton is 31 years old. He's been with the Bucks 10 years. NBA reporter Adrian Wojnarowski.
Middleton and his agents were talking with the Bucks, a player that's certainly going to command a lot of attention in the free agent market, but don't rule out the possibility that he comes back to the Bucks on a new deal, but that'll be a negotiation in July.
Meanwhile, the NBA draft is tonight, and the team is now with a new head coach, Adrian Griffin. I asked him what he's been working on since taking over earlier this month.
Just continue to connect with the players. You know, a lot of them are coming in and out of town. Just sitting down with them. You know, I'm eager to get to work, but I do know the importance of the relationship piece. So it's fun. And, like, all the players are coming back, and I'm getting to know them still.
So the Bucks had the last pick in the second round. Coverage begins tonight at 7 on ABC TV. Kostas Antetokounmpo, the younger brother of Giannis, has been picked up by a team in the Greek League. The 25-year-old center played high school basketball at Whitefish Bay Dominican and was drafted by the 76ers back in 2018. There will be no 35-second shot clock in high school basketball in Wisconsin this year. Minnesota, Iowa, and Illinois have all added a shot clock to their games, but a board for the WIAA decided against it, citing a lukewarm reception from coaches and concerns about budgets to buy the clocks or finding someone to staff it. College football, Vernon Woodard, a defensive back from Florida, has changed his mind. Instead of Wisconsin, he says he'll be playing for Illinois. And Brett Bielema, Rob Booker, a tight end from Wanakee, Wisconsin, also decommitted yesterday his intentions to play for the Badgers. In baseball, the Brewers lose to the Diamondbacks 5-1. The game began as a pitcher's duel between Arizona ace Zach Gallen and Milwaukee's Julio Teheran, who both pitched 4 scoreless innings. Right fielder Raimel Tapia got the crew on the board first in the fifth.
As Tapia out towards right center. Back McCarthy, gone! 1-0 Brew Crew.
The Diamondbacks replied, scoring 5 unanswered runs, moving runners around the bases. Brewers catcher William Contreras allowing 7 stolen bases by the D-backs. I asked their manager, Torrey Lovello, how they got away with so many stolen bases.
I think we identified something. It's clear. Contreras knows the ball extremely well, and it's not totally on him. But we did our job. I think our guys do some homework. They pay attention and take advantage of some situations that they can do it.
Craig Counsell says the Brewers simply didn't produce enough offense.
You know, we scored 1 run, so we got to do better than that. We didn't square enough up and didn't create any traffic.
Next, the Brewers head to Cleveland, where they face the Guardians tomorrow night. With sports, I'm Mike Clemens.
Civic Media isn't just another broadcast company.
We're your neighbors. We bleed green and gold.
And we love nothing more than to help fellow Wisconsinites succeed.
Whether your business wants to advertise to your local community or the entire state, Civic Media can help. Find out more at civicmedia.us.
Hello, Chippewa Valley and 93.5 The Tap listeners. Civic Media is thrilled to be your new neighbor. And to celebrate our arrival, we have an exclusive offer just for you and your local business. Be one of the first 10 callers right now, and you'll receive 1 month of free advertising. That's right, 1 month of free advertising. This incredible offer ends June 30th. Boost your business and secure your free month of advertising right now. Call 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. Call now. When it comes to achieving successful jury verdicts and settlements, one law firm stands out above the rest. Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a $6.2 million settlement for a woman permanently paralyzed as a result of medical malpractice. $4.9 million to members of a family injured due to the negligence of a truck driver and his employer. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs today, 855-954-1186.
Calling to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
This is 93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
For today, sunshine and a high near 91. For tonight, mostly clear, lows around 66. Slight chance of a storm Friday, otherwise mostly sunny, and again a high near 91. For Friday night, slight chance of a storm, low of 67. Some scattered storms Saturday with a high near 90. With weather, I'm Corey Hartman.
Right now, it's 82.
Thanks for joining us today. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio where you are the star, you are the talent, and you will drive the talking points of the day. If you'd like to participate in today's forum, give us a call, 844-967-2789. I am back. It was a fun week or so, I've been told. I would not know. I'm William Walter, the Policy Research Director and Lead Training Organizer with Our Wisconsin Revolution. And we have a full studio today, everyone. Please introduce yourself.
I'm Luke Mathers, Executive Producer here at Civic Media. Glad to have you back, Will. You sound like you're dragging a little bit. So, callers, we need you to inject a little livelihood into today's show because Will is dragging. He took the red eye back.
I'm trying to bring the energy, Luke. It's just not there.
All of that energy left in the desert. You know, too many bets on red, I would imagine. Is that where you were betting on the roulette table? Or are you, do you put money down on green?
I don't put money down.
No, oh, okay,
I just didn't gamble.
Yeah. Allegedly, no gambling took place. Okay.
I'm that guy who took a $5 bill down and was like, all right, I'm going to be reasonable. I'm going to set my expectations low. And then 40 seconds later, it's all gone. All right, that was fun, everybody. Let's pack it up and head home.
That was your gambling experience. I do enjoy the penny slots over on Fremont's Street because you can get a beer or two while you're just playing the penny slots. If you lose a little bit, so what? You lost a couple of pennies. Big deal. But a little shocked, Will, to hear that you did not participate in the gambling.
You clearly do not know me very well, Luke. We have known each other for a long, long time, and I have discussed my non-affinity for that type of entertainment.
You could say that, but then when you see the roulette table, come on, it draws you in. All of those shiny slot machines, come on.
Years of video games, Luke, years of video games. The shiny lights, that doesn't get to me anymore, man.
Folks, if you want to join us here on Town Call today, 844-967-2789, you can call or text. And we are joined by Dane County Supervisor Annalise Eicher, an all-around excellent person. Annalise, how are we doing today?
I'm doing great, Luke. Thanks for having me.
And you have all the energy because you have a post-concert glow. The day after a concert, I feel like, is the opposite of a trip to the desert where Will was these past couple days.
For work.
You keep putting the preface. Like, you don't need to let anybody know you were in the desert.
So Will, I'll agree. I only ever go to Vegas for work. And I get out as soon as possible. I'm not one for the desert, but yeah, I do have that post-concert glow. I and a ton of folks from Madison were at Bree Stevens last night for the Doobie Brothers 50th anniversary tour.
I caught a little bit as I was driving by because I wrapped up volleyball up there near the square. And the last two Wednesdays now, there have been some pretty big concerts going on at Bree Stevens, Weezer, and Modest Mouse, I believe, last yep. week, and then the Doobie Brothers this week.
And I think there's another big one next week, too. Oh,
the post-concert traffic's not super fun, so I'm going to have to try to avoid it and go
That sounds like a good problem to have, though. Oh, we have so many great concerts, I just can't get around the town anymore. Listen to this guy. What is up with
between that and the construction, Will, it's difficult, okay? But we are joined by Annalise today because a topic that got a little bit of good news and bad news last week, the Dane County Board voting to make Dane County a sanctuary for trans and non-binary residents here in our county. And at the same time, interesting how these meetings happened really, really early in the morning. Thursday night was a long work day for a lot of folks here in Dane County and in Madison. While the Dane County Board was doing that, the GOP-led Joint Finance Committee put in a provision to prevent trans and non-binary individuals from using Medicaid coverage or Badger Care for gender-affirming care here in Wisconsin. So two very different sides of the same coin, Annalise, yes. And wanted to just get your take on the Dane County Board voting on that and making the county the first in the nation, as far as I'm aware, to have those protections at the county level.
Yeah, it was a long night on Thursday, and but I think it was also really awesome. You know, this was a resolution that some of my colleagues brought forward. You know, given the sheer number of attacks and legislation that we have seen on trans and non-binary folks across the country, including here in Wisconsin, we felt and they felt that this was a necessary step that we could take, that we could, you know, have this discussion, put forth this legislation, and work to, you know, save lives and here in Dane County. And so I'm incredibly grateful to my colleagues, primarily Rick Rose, who represents the eastern part of Madison and part of the city of Sun Prairie. And he's new to the board this year, but did an incredible job working on this resolution. But, you know, it was a long night in part two, because we had a ton of folks come out and support and say, hey, this is something that's going to save lives. This is something that reflects our values as a community. This is something that, you know, we need and we want here. But we also heard from a lot of folks who were opposed to making Dane County a sanctuary and were, unfortunately, spewing hateful rhetoric about trans and non-binary, and also, I think, you know, all members of the LGBT community. So it was really, it was a really trying night. Mm-hmm. It was certainly wonderful to have that pass, but it was also really disheartening to sit through that rhetoric. You know, which, again, First Amendment, they can come to our meetings, they, you know, can talk.
They can participate.
They can participate. Yeah. But it was hard to sit through at times. But yeah,
referencing it was, what was passed by the Dane County Board, reading from a piece over at the Cap Times, the quote imposes, if the state of Wisconsin were to pass a law that, quote, imposes criminal or civil punishments, fines, or professional sanctions on any person or organization that seeks, provides, receives, or helps someone receive gender-affirming care, the board would ask the Dane County Sheriff's Office to make enforcement its lowest priority. So that was the resolution passed early Friday morning last week. Those are the details of what was passed. And it is interesting to hear, Annalise, that there was participation on and public comments on both sides of this. I don't know if there was as much kind of at least public input that went into the Joint Finance Committee's decision around the same time.
Yeah,
very early on Friday morning. It was kind of something that
interesting
was
interesting juxtaposition, Luke.
Yes,
resolutions versus legal doctrine. Whether or not the elected officials listen to us in one situation versus the other.
And my understanding, there's several members of the Dane County Board that are also representatives in the legislature. To the best of my recollection, I don't know if they are also on the Joint Finance Committee. But
no, none of those folks are on the Joint Finance Committee, but they are members of the legislature, Democrats.
So was there any takeaway from those colleagues of yours on the county board that are also representatives in the legislature that were participating in the county's public hearing surrounding this and taking part in passing this first in the nation resolution? Did they share their comments on seeing around that same time what was being passed by the legislature's Joint Finance Committee?
Yeah, it was kind of funny, and it didn't come from one of those folks, but one of the supervisors had actually stood up during our discussion portion of it and said, hey, if anyone's wondering why we really need this here in Dane County, the state legislature's Joint Finance Committee just voted to not allow gender-affirming care to be covered by Medicaid and Badger Care. So it was literally during our meeting, mm-hmm. during our discussion, that the Joint Finance Committee was making that decision. I think just, again, as that supervisor said, further proving the necessity of a resolution like this in Dane County.
Folks, you're listening to Town Call. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. We are joined by Annalise Eicher, Dane County Board Supervisor, talking about the dueling resolutions or provisions that were included last week. And I think it's just... it's fascinating to see how the circumstances that went into, because I'm not a huge fan of the middle of the night votes, but I think there's two.
I'm not either, as someone who's had to take them, also not a fan.
Right. As you said, Thursday became a very long day. I think it's also important to point out, though, the circumstances on why they got to be so late night votes for each body. The Dane County Board, roughly how many hours of testimony went into that committee hearing that took place? Probably, I want to say, a start time around 7 p.m. would be my guess, but you could fill us in on when it started.
Yeah, we started our meeting at 7. I think we got to this resolution about 8 o'clock. Heard testimony for a couple of hours, and I think took the vote of the board shortly before 1 a.m.
Okay. And then the opposite of that, the Joint Finance Committee scheduled to meet that day, I believe at 1 p.m. I could have that off, but it kept getting pushed back. You know, there was behind closed door meetings that just kept occurring, and then all of a sudden, oh no, there's no other choice. The vote has to be taken now here in the middle of the night. We're going to vote on a $3.1 billion aspect of the budget for now around the same time, 1 a.m, 2 a.m. Yeah. And so those are very different reasons. One, public input, and then the others just seems to be procedural delays on what caused these middle of the night votes.
Yeah, I mean, procedural delays so that they can, you know, do really unpopular things in the middle of the night and, you know, hope that they don't get as much coverage and that folks aren't paying attention. But folks are paying attention, and it's... you know, it's unfortunate that we're sort of used to the Republicans in the Wisconsin state legislature acting this way, continuing to push meetings back later and later and later, and then taking votes in the middle of the night. It's not the right way to do government. That's for sure.
It's a strategy to wear individuals out, it seems. You have to sit there listening to public testimony because that's your job. Who knows what's going on behind closed doors? Could they be negotiating? Sure. Could they be napping on a couch? I don't know. I'm not there.
Folks, we want to hear your thoughts on the subject. 844-967-2789. You're listening to Town Call across Civic Media. If you want to participate, you can call or text 844-96-PARTY. Up first this Thursday afternoon, we got Mark from Prairie to Stat calling in. Mark, what's on your mind today?
Well, it seems to me that you got all these people that are scared of people that are different. And it turned me back to the old... 1970, I think it was, Chris Christopherson had a song, the laws for protection of the people. And, you know, the punchline of it is scaring decent folks like you and me, no siree. That, and maybe you guys are not familiar with that song, you know, but I can remember hearing it. I think my dad actually had an LP of that Chris Christopherson album.
I am not familiar, Mark, so I'm not familiar with the song. Annalise, yeah, Will, either of you?
I know the song, but I don't know it well.
Okay.
Yeah, it just goes on to say that, you know, the law, you know, kind of it closes out with, because laws is for the protection of the people, rules are rules any fool can see. We don't need no riddle speaking prophets scaring decent folks like you and me. And,
you got the song memorized, Mark.
Well, no, I'm looking at it right now.
Oh, okay, reading off the lyrics. Gotcha. I was like, wow, that's one heck of a memory if you're just on the spot just sharing the lyrics.
The song is literally called The Laws for Protection of the People. So thanks, thank you, Mark, for contributing. We got a wonderful rest of the show coming up. This is Town Call on a Thursday, June 22nd, opening day of Summerfest. We'll be right back after the break.
Need no riddle-speaking prophets scaring decent folks like you and me. No siree.
Civic Media radio stations providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
CBS News special report. New developments in the undersea hunt for a missing submersible. CBS's Cammy McCormick.
The Coast Guard put out a statement on Twitter saying a debris field has been found near the Titanic crash site. That is the Titan passed the critical 96-hour mark when breathable air could have run out on the submersible.
The debris field was found by an undersea vessel. It's not clear whether officials believe it is connected to the Titan, which had five people on board. Retired Navy Vice Admiral Robert Moret tells CBS News.
Caution until we get some further word, because there is so much debris on the ocean floor in and around the Titanic that firm identification would have to be the next step.
Even if the craft is located in the North Atlantic, officials have said it would be a challenge to get it to the surface. Rescuers have been focusing their efforts on undersea sounds in recent days. CBS News Special Report. I'm Steve Kathan.
News is brought to you by Gingras Thompson & Wachs, a statewide team of personal injury lawyers getting you the justice you deserve. Call 855-954-1186 for a free consultation.
Here's what you need to know in Western Wisconsin. Good morning, I'm Jimmy Kuska. Wisconsin AG Josh Call was in La Crosse on Wednesday to drum up support for the Office of School Safety, which Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee have decided not to fund in the next budget. Call says he's seeking $2.2 million over the next 2 years to fund the office, which handles the Speak Up, Speak Out campaign that directs information to law enforcement and other services. The state's Department of Justice says more than 1,700 schools and law enforcement agencies received at least one tip from the program, with all but nine of the state's 72 counties receiving at least one tip in the past year. Today is the start of Country Fest in Kidat. The event, which began in 1987, had select performances for ticket holders last night. The main events are the next 3 days, including headliners John Party, Dan and Shay, and the Zac Brown Band. After recent updates to the facilities, a record crowd of 100,000 people is expected this year over the course of the weekend. For Civic Media News, I'm Jimmy Kuska.
The law firm of Gingras Thompson & Wachs has a track record of making life-changing, positive differences for their clients. $5.25 million to a woman who suffered brain injuries and her husband passed away when struck by a drunk driver. $1 million to three different individuals injured by drunk drivers. $1 million settlement to a man injured in a motorcycle accident. Call Gingras Thompson & Wachs, 855-954-1186.
Calling to win, Gingras Thompson & Wachs, GTWLawyers.com.
Larry, it's your mom. Did you know the Civic Media Network covers the whole state of Wisconsin? They can help your business get the word out, whether you want to reach a smidge of folks or just want the whole kit and caboodle. Call 608-819-8255. Okay then, bye.
Hello, Chippewa Valley and 93.5 The Tap listeners. Civic Media is thrilled to be your new neighbor. And to celebrate our arrival, we have an exclusive offer just for you and your local business. Be one of the first 10 callers right now, and you'll receive 1 month of free advertising. That's right, 1 month of free advertising. This incredible offer ends June 30th. Boost your business and secure your free month of advertising right now. Call 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. Call now.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
93.5 The Tap. 93.5 The Tap.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. Today, we are talking late night or early morning, I guess, depending on your perspective votes. We're talking the Wisconsin legislature. We're talking the Dane County Board of Supervisors. We're talking whatever you would like to talk. Give us a call, 844-967-2789. Joined today by Annalise Eicher, Dane County Board Supervisor. And getting back to the conversation we had a little bit before the break, something that I kind of wanted to note regarding the Cap Times article that states the Dane County Board voted overwhelmingly to make the county a sanctuary. I wanted to put raw numbers behind that because overwhelmingly can mean something different to anybody who hears it. This was not like a, you know, oh, 75% of the vote, which would be overwhelming for a statewide election, right? This was 25-1. That's 96% of the vote in favor of this resolution. This is not, oh, yeah, a lot of people supported it. This was near unanimous consent.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yes, it was.
And I think that it's not doing justice to how important a lot of the county board supervisors recognize this issue to be to not note how directly impactful that large of a percentage of your elected officials siding with something is. Could you talk about a little bit behind the scenes, the conversations that were had as to why this was pushed right now? You know, we noted as well in the article, you gave a shout out to County Supervisor Rick Rose earlier in the episode, who introduced this resolution at the beginning of June to coincide with the beginning of Pride Month, as he was citing increasing concern that state's Republican leaders would block funding for or access to transgender-specific healthcare, excuse me. And we are still in Pride Month, and the GOP legislature is still pushing this type of agenda.
They are. I think, you know, sure, we're still in Pride Month, but I think legislation like this would be appropriate in any month. You know, this is about saving lives. This is about protecting vulnerable populations. This is about loving and supporting other human beings and their experience in this world. That overwhelming vote, that near unanimous vote, you know, really is important. And, you know, I think the Dane County Board, you know, our conversations around this, you know, they are supportive. I mean, this was not hard legislation for us to say yes to, which I think says a lot about the character of the folks that represent us in Dane County. And I think also was part of what made it so hard to sit through such vitriol on Thursday night, Friday morning. But yeah, I think, you know, Pride Month or not, this is something that we would have done. Super grateful to Rick Rose for bringing this forward.
And it's important, as you pointed out, that this is a step that the county board can take because of the attacks that the trans and non-binary community is facing. Mm-hmm. And it seems like for the Joint Finance Committee to include a provision in the upcoming two-year budget in the middle of the night that would prevent any Wisconsin resident seeking gender-affirming care that is covered by Medicaid to not be able to receive that coverage, it's already protected. There was a 2019 ruling, and this is reading from a piece by Molly Beck over at the Journal Sentinel, that the move, speaking of the JFC vote last week, comes 4 years after a federal judge said Wisconsin health officials could no longer categorically deny Medicaid coverage for medically necessary gender-confirming surgery, a practice a federal judge found violated patients' civil rights and federal health care law. So there's already judicial precedent for Medicaid coverage to be acceptable when it comes to this life-saving care. And so for this to be added into a budget, it feels like there is more of a fight attempting to be picked than actually, you know, a budgetary advancement of a goal.
It's not a budgetary thing. It's not a policy thing. At this point, it is it's simply being mean. And it is targeting an already vulnerable group of people who we know gender affirming care is life saving. Gender affirming care is healthcare. It's healthcare. Like you and I, you know, everybody receives gender affirming healthcare. And it's completely unnecessary for the state legislature to do this. And they're doing it to, you know, to try to stoke a fight that unfortunately they can't win and they won't win. But it's unfortunate that that's the path that they've chosen to go. But it's also, I think, you know, for them and seeing how they've, you know, reacted to any number of groups of populations over the last, you know, decades, multiple plural, you know, this is par for them. This is on par for them.
Folks, you're listening.
You noted.
Oop, go ahead, Luke.
I was going to note that, you know, you talked about that it's being mean. They're just doing it kind of out of spite. And I can't help but think back to a story we covered within the past couple of weeks the GOP's attempt to reduce the UW-Madison budget by $32 million, the exact amount of money that was being spent on DEI. So they're not, you know, they're not going to force you to get rid of it. They're just going to say, if you want your budget to remain stable elsewhere, oh, we just so happen to coincidentally remove the exact amount of money required for these projects that we don't like because, you know, we just don't.
Well, and we're going to enforce this upon you. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, since you've been gone in the desert, Will, noted that that is the number one priority in his eyes, is fighting DEI here in Wisconsin. That was a provision that he talked about strongly at last weekend's Republican statewide convention held in La Crosse. And that is his, according to what he spoke at the state party convention, his top priority in fighting is DEI, diversity, equity, and inclusion, training and offices on UW campuses and I guess everywhere else, which is an interesting juxtaposition as well, because that is the state's stance. Assembly Speaker Robin Voss, the most powerful Republican elected official here in the state of Wisconsin. But at the national level, the RNC put DEI provisions into their contract with the city of Milwaukee for the city to host the 2024 Republican National Convention next year. And so,
as I say, not as I do.
It's a very interesting juxtaposition that if the top priority for the Assembly Speaker is to eliminate DEI, at the same time that the Republican National Committee is putting that into their contract with the city of Milwaukee. So there is.
Luke, did anybody tell the Snowbirds that Robin Voss has moved on to a new priority? Because I thought that was his. I thought that was his like overarching goal, was to get Snowbirds to stay in Wisconsin. He's been hyping that up for years, and now he's just moved on.
We're going to get a vote on the UW system budget and a tax cut potentially in the assembly later today, Will. So that's something that we're going to have to keep an eye on, absolutely. Folks, you're listening to Town Call. If you want to contribute to today's edition, give us a call. Send us a text, 844-967-2789. And Annalise, another aspect of healthcare that is up in the air right now in Wisconsin. There's lawsuits surrounding it. But because of about 1 year ago, the one-year anniversary taking place this Saturday of the Dobbs decision to overturn nearly 50 years of legal precedent in Roe v. Wade, is coming up. That anniversary, we are going to see continuation around the lawsuit. But speaking of gender-affirming care as healthcare, abortion services for Wisconsin residents, still questionable. We're seeing stories now that there are residents here at UW Medical School that have to now travel to Illinois or other states to be able to even receive OBGYN training because the schools do not want to go into a questionable gray legal area with the uncertainty that surrounds abortion here in Wisconsin right now. Your thoughts on the state of where we are right now in Wisconsin 1 year after the Dobbs decision?
Yeah, it's really hard to believe that was about a year ago that we were seeing, you know, folks literally preparing to lose fundamental rights to their bodies and to healthcare. You know, abortion is healthcare, and it is something that, you know, we for, you know, the entirety of Roe have had access to in Wisconsin. You know, we now know that pregnant people have to travel across state lines to receive health care, to receive abortion care. And we know that doctors and nurses in Wisconsin are also traveling across state lines to help provide care to the influx of people who are, say, traveling to Illinois for abortion care. You know, you're right on about the medical students. You know, they can't receive the type of training that they need to complete their medical training here in Wisconsin because of the uncertainty around abortion in Wisconsin. So we know, you know, Attorney General Josh Gall has brought a lawsuit challenging the 1849 ban on abortion in Wisconsin that is currently in Dane County Court. There was a hearing back in May 4th. I remember because it was Star Wars Day.
I was going to say May the 4th
but,
be with you.
Yes,
you
and also it. With you. But the, you know, so we were really, I think, waiting to see that decision from, you know, the appeal that was happening in the Dane County Court. And then, you know, I think the most of us are waiting to see what happens. You know, when does this go to the Wisconsin Supreme Court? And when do we get the questions answered about what is the state of abortion? Like, are we legally allowed to make decisions for ourselves and our bodies and our families and our futures? And it's it remains really scary for a number of our populations, you know, to receive healthcare. And I know that we've heard stories of, you know, folks who are waiting longer to even receive care for a miscarriage because they're afraid of what might happen. And so it's really creating a dangerous situation for healthcare in Wisconsin. And, you know, there is that legal path. There is that 1849 law that they're challenging with lawsuits. But our legislature could act. There is a Restore Roe Act that was introduced in the state legislature that would restore abortion access in Wisconsin, which would allow organizations like Planned Parenthood and Affiliated Medical Services to open their doors and begin providing that necessary healthcare service again. But our Wisconsin legislature does not want to act. Republicans do not want to take action on that issue. And they're trying to sidestep it in any number of ways that are just continuing to harm, to cause harm and to deny healthcare to, you know, half of our state.
Yeah.
For a state that's bleeding young, talented individuals in the workforce, too, that's a very interesting decision to make to force someone who is training to become a doctor to protect their community and the health of their people in their neighborhoods are being forced to leave the state that they want to live in because they cannot literally be trained in their area of expertise.
Yeah, they can't be trained. I mean, these are, you know, I've talked to some medical students who are, you know, born and raised Wisconsinites who've done their schooling here. They want to practice medicine here. You know, we already have a problem with retaining young people in Wisconsin for medical care, even in, you know, rural areas. And we have folks who want to stay, but because of the inaction by the state legislature and the actions by, you know, the Supreme Court and the United States and denying rights, you know, we have folks who are leaving, you know, and it's going to start affecting other industries, too. I mean, folks want to live and move places that support their support reproductive freedom. And if we're a state that does not support reproductive freedom, we're going to suffer for it.
Folks, you're listening to Town Call. That's Annalise Eicher, Dane County Board Supervisor, all-around terrific human being. I'm Luke Mathers. He's William Walter. If you want to participate in today's Town Call, give us a call, 844-967-2789. If you have a suggestion for a topic that you'd like us to cover here on Town Call, you can also send us an email, real simple, towncall, TOWNCALL, at civicmedia.us. We'll take those suggestions for future editions of Town Call. You can email us, towncall@civicmedia.us.
Or hit us up on Twitter at towncallwi. If you have a suggestion for a best Wisconsin headline of the week, I am calling on you right now. Tomorrow is Friday. Let's hear those headlines. I was in the desert. I'm going to be a little bit behind, Luke. I am expecting you to carry the show. I have carried the last 2 weeks, despite what Aaron may have voted on. I'm going to claim victory. So let's get some good headlines in here.
Are you still shouting stuff. Stop the steal? Is that all you were talking about? Is that why you were in Arizona? Oh, excuse me, Las Vegas?
I was in Nevada, but
so close to Arizona. So close.
It was
close.
A free and fair election, by all accounts.
I didn't know where in the desert you went. You allegedly said Vegas. Folks, we got one more segment left of the day. 844-967-2789. We're going to be right back.
Hey, Jay, can you finish that induction range installation tomorrow?
Orders have really amped up at Nate's Electric.
We need to finish installing it first in Maine. Did we hear back from the grocery chain?
It's no shock he needs electricians, like yesterday.
Smart fridge. Everybody wants one of those these days.
Indeed can help him hire great people fast.
I need Indeed.
Indeed you do.
We instantly connect you with quality candidates whose resumes on Indeed match your job description. Visit Indeed.com/credit and get $75 towards your first sponsored job. Terms and conditions apply.
Hello, Chippewa Valley and 93.5 The Tap listeners. Civic Media is thrilled to be your new neighbor. And to celebrate our arrival, we have an exclusive offer just for you and your local business. Be one of the first 10 callers right now, and you'll receive 1 month of free advertising. That's right, 1 month of free advertising. This incredible offer ends June 30th. Boost your business and secure your free month of advertising right now. Call 608-949-8989. 608-949-8989. Call now.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
For today, sunshine and a high near 91. For tonight, mostly clear, lows around 66. Slight chance of a storm Friday, otherwise mostly sunny, and again a high near 91. For Friday night, slight chance of a storm, low of 67. Some scattered storms Saturday with a high near 90. With weather, I'm Corey Hartman.
Right now, it's 84.
The Civic Media Network of radio stations across Wisconsin. We are your hometown radio, refreshed.
Welcome one, welcome all, welcome back. This is Town Call, a brand new approach to homegrown radio. We have a full studio today. We are joined by Annalise Eicher, of course, Luke Mathers, and we got Aaron on the board. We're talking late night votes. We're talking Wisconsin conservative legislature, and we are talking everything that has to do with healthcare, particularly in the state of Wisconsin. And Annalise, we noted a right before the break, Aaron was clutch enough to come up with the conversation that had happened a little bit earlier regarding harassment in certain terms and phrases that have been kind of stolen in the sense that everybody wants to play the victim, right? Victimhood is a very popular concept, particularly for the oppressors, so that they are unable to look in the mirror and recognize the impact that they have on society. And Aaron noted a tweet from Elon Musk, the owner of Twitter, the second richest man in the world, who said repeated targeted harassment against any account will cause the harassing accounts to receive at minimum temporary suspensions. The words cis or cisgender are considered slurs on the platform. We were joking earlier about the comparisons that we've seen on media networks in the past where generally white individuals will say something along the lines of, oh, X is equal to the N word. And then the counter to that is, well, then say it. You know, you're confident enough to say this word, cis or cisgender, in this situation, but you refuse to say the N-word. Why are reactionaries kind of falling into this mindset? How are we able to break this at the local level? Because this is getting absurd. The culture war is being pushed to the nth degree, and I have no idea where this is going to take us.
That is a super excellent question, and I don't know that like they even know where they're going with it, right? It seems like there's a new thing for them, you know, anything that's different or, you know, not super, you know, heteronormative and Christian, that is, you know, that's different. And for some people, different is scary and uncomfortable, and then they react negatively and seek to, you know, ban words and spew hate. So, you know, I think what do we do to combat that is, I mean, we continue to talk about it. We continue to call it out. We continue to, you know, work to pass legislation at the local level like we have in here in Dane County, you know, protecting certain individuals. And, you know, we have to keep showing up and doing the work. And it's not on, you know, thinking specifically about, you know, Elon Musk banning cis or cisgender. I'm literally about to go on my Twitter and tweet about that and use those words. It's not on our trans and non-binary friends and family to call that out and defend themselves. It's on all of us to do that work. I think it's similar to the discussions that we've, you know, been having in this country about race. It is not on Black and brown people to educate us and to help, you know, make things okay. That is also, it is on us to do that work. And so, you know, I think that's the answer, is to continue educating ourselves, to continue calling things out, to continue continue to educate yourself. There are a ton of resources for folks to learn. But that's how we combat this. Because they're going to keep finding something. They're going to keep, you know, targeting someone or some group of people that's different. And it's going to keep going, and we have to keep doing the work.
And I think it's important for individuals that aren't familiar. Elon Musk has a child that it identifies as transgender. Yes. And so that dynamic, I think, also needs to be discussed a little bit more, because it seems to be that the fear or the uncertainty of what's going on in our own individual lives when it comes to the relationships that we have with individuals in the trans or non-binary community, there are some people that are digging their heels in. There are Elon Musk is going to, he purchased a platform that he now oversees, and he's going to say the exact opposite and do this reactionary thing of, well, if you use cis now, that is a slur and it will be taken down or muted or tampered
he's
down.
He's Michael Scott saying this is a hate crime, and then Stanley's like, that's not a hate crime, Michael, and he's like, well, I hated it. Like, that's what Elon's doing at this point. And I think what's kind of interesting, and this part I agree with, I could see him making the argument that it's not about what words are used. It's about the repeated targeted harassment. So hypothetically, if, you know, a large subset of the Twitter population determined that William was a slur and they used it hatefully or aggressively, he would make that same argument. But I don't think he would.
No.
He can make that argument today, but he would never make that argument if it wasn't something that didn't already agree with his preconceived worldview.
Absolutely. And I cannot imagine a world in which somebody is targeted and, like, a trans person is targeted and dead named and only referred to by the wrong pronouns for them on purpose. And then those people committing those acts do not get suspended. Like, there's no way that he would enforce that kind of thing.
He wouldn't, and he hasn't.
Well, the only reason that I think anyone would believe that cisgender is a slur are the individuals that use trans as a slur or anything to be able to identify the transgender community as a slur. And so it is...
So it's just projection.
It is.
I use this phrase as a slur, so you must be using the counter as a slur.
That would be my take on it. That is the read that I get from individuals that get upset with the term cis or cisgender. Folks, you've been listening to Town Call. One final question for you, Annalise. As Will pointed out, it's important to at the local level be able to do more when it comes to having these conversations. Is what Dane County, the Dane County Board did last week, is that a blueprint? Is that something that we could see replicated in other counties here in Wisconsin or around the nation? Or how else can... Cause, first in the nation, that's a pretty big deal. Can you tell us a little bit more about any relationships the county board may be having with fellow county boards around the state in doing other protections like this?
Yeah, so, you know, we've got, I think as supervisors, you know, we've got relationships with folks around the state. We've all got relationships with different, you know, county elected officials across the country. You know, there's some pretty incredible national networks. And this, you know, legislation is absolutely something that other counties and even municipalities can take and make their own so that it fits their community and fits, you know, their statutes and their, you know, their regulations. So, you know, I think if folks are interested, that legislation's out there. That link is online. Contact, you know, your Dane County Board supervisor. You know, if folks across the state are listening and are interested, in that, and they want to, you know, say, hey, how can I help? Reach out to some of us on the Dane County Board. We would be happy to help help set folks up in other counties and other municipalities with that.
And where can we find you, Annalise? Give a shout out.
Oh, on the internet, the Dane County Board website. It's countyofdane.com.
There we go.
Perfect. Thank you so much for joining us today, Annalise. This is Town Call. We got Wisconsin headlines coming tomorrow. Please give us a call, 844-967-2789, to share the best one you're able to find. I'm William Walter. He's Luke Mathers. Thanks for joining us today. We'll see you tomorrow, party people.
Talk to y'all then.
One call, the Civic Media Network of stations can deliver your business's message to the entire state of Wisconsin.
Or your hometown.
Marketing plans that work for your business. One call can do it all. Civic Media, 608-819-8255.
This is the story of a very special woman. Just a few knew about her superpowers. In a matter of seconds, she turned herself into a great mathematician. She masqueraded as a regular person at work, but as a superhero at home. Everyone knows her as Gabriella. I still call her Mom.
Your hero needs you now, and AARP is here to help. Find the care guides you need to help, complete with tips and resources, at aarp.org/caregiving. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
We've all felt left out. And for people who move to this country, that feeling lasts more than a moment. We can change that. Learn how at belongingbeginswithus.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council.